Morphin Legacy presents The Grid.
Howdy, Ranger Nation. This is Shattery22, Vice President of MorphinLegacy.com, welcoming you to a very special episode of The Grid, where we will be reviewing the Dino Team-Up Trilogy. Rawr!
Roar. Dinosaur sounds.
Rawr means I love you in Dinosaur XD.
Asterisk, roar, asterisk, asterisk.
You already heard them, but joining me in this prehistoric episode is Austin.
Hi, I'm Laura Dern.
And Amber.
Hi.
Amber's Jeff Goldblum.
I'm Jeff Goldblum. I've got the open shirt, just like, that's me.
So for this special episode of The Grid, we will be doing a roundtable review of the three Dino Team-Up episodes, Find Us Keepers, the villain special, Making Bad, and Grid Connection, we should sue. So with that,
let's go ahead and get this shit started.
Alrighty, so first up is episode 12 of season 2. Find Us Keepers.
AKA Everyone Shits on Zoe episode.
Yeah.
So, brief synopsis, Ryjack's realms are up for grabs, and thanks to the last episode, we know they're on Earth, making it a race trip for both sides to find out the location first. Fortunately for us, Zoe solves big problems. Reeve is on the case, and she's the first one to find Ryjack. So, Zoe decides it's just a good idea to simply just walk into the ship, triggering the security system, causing it to blow up. This explosion reveals the location to Evox's crews in a familiar space. Keeper.
Gabe Riley voice. Keeper.
Keeper?
So Zoe thinks Keeper's a baddie, and so she puts a compliance collar on him at the same time that Blaze and Roxy revive Snide with the reanimizer. Keeper is then kidnapped by the villains and spills some tea to Evox about something we'll learn later. That's your future. The Dino Charge Rangers then show up to trade Keeper for the villain relics from Ryjack's ship, feeding us some more Dino Charge fan service. Yes.
Chef kiss.
So the episode ends with the Dino Charge Rangers and Keeper returning to their dimension, literally leaving the Beast Morph Rangers to fight their entire villain roster by themselves.
That was cunty.
They're Sludge's crew. They're not really that hard to fight. So let's be real.
Do not come up in here and smack talk. They are powerful. They are strong, independent villains.
Don't get me wrong. I love them, but this is what, the third time they've been killed?
And you know what? You love to see it, though.
I do love to see it. I'm just kidding. They're not that formidable.
Just fucking rude.
Powerful in my heart.
The Beast Morpher Rangers are also left wondering what Evox's plan is and what information Keeper told them, because he doesn't remember.
Way to go, Keeper.
I mean, not surprised.
Okay, so some new character elements, or some old character elements, since this pretty much is the Let's Focus on Dino Charge episode. So first up is Keeper. Keeper is the first of many Dino Charge characters featured in this episode. That's an understatement. He's immediately collared by Zozo to be a bottom bitch. Like our friend Vargoyle.
Would you like to make some other fucking money?
Like, thanks, Zoe.
Zoe's all assuming here that he's a baddie because he looks like an alien.
Like, didn't we just go through this with Captain Chaku? Like, didn't you learn not to accuse people immediately? Like, what the fuck?
She missed Ranger History class today. Also, it's like, in the episodes that are, like, talking about Ranger History, Zoe doesn't know that's Keeper.
Yeah.
I mean, from behind, he does look a little bit like a fucking mook, but, like, you know.
I mean, yeah, to be fair, she saw him from the back.
Yeah.
That robe is sus.
She saw him from the back. That's a view that Zenowing is too familiar with.
Evox's crew captures him, and after being brought to the Crystal Dimension, his staff is stolen by Evox, and Keeper is forced to tell the entire plot of Dino Charge. I wonder what you thought of the Charlie's. Oh, really? Cake samples?
Oh, Evox ships it.
Are they analyzing them?
That gay queen ships it.
Anyways, he's eventually saved after they trade him for the villain relics, and Keeper is freed, and is not just hanging on the main fetching for a while. Maybe take a holiday on Aquatar. Or maybe just go catch up on his get out now. It's fun. He's just vibing.
Yeah, he's missed a lot of soap opera. Also, wait, this is a different dimension. We got different soap operas. So he's like, I want to see y'all different soap operas.
I mean, honestly, what's Glitz World like here? Do we even have that?
I hope so.
I do too. That's like my favorite show.
So Kiefer here is pretty much just used to progress the plot for the Dynamo team up, which we learn later. It's nice to see him again. I like Kiefer. He's a good mentor. I like him.
They added more creepy CGI effects to his eyes, and it was kind of weird to watch.
I did not like it.
His eyes are every, they blinked, and it's like, ooh.
I was like, oh, God. And they added, like, weird, like, mouth effects. I'm like, I don't need to see that. I really
don't. I hate watching those fucking CGI eyes blink. Like, it is Uncanny Valley nightmare fuel, and I am not into it.
Like, that is my sleep paralysis demon.
Yeah, sister.
They're probably using the head from 5 years ago, so it's, like, it's probably falling apart, so we need to enhance it with CGI.
Or they just wanted to enhance it to make it look more real instead of just putting some animatronics.
Yeah, because they got Hasbro money now, so. Also, pretty on brand for Kiefer to just say deuces after all his season villains are resurrected.
Yeah, fuck you, Kiefer.
Fuck you, bitch.
I mean, he literally did that when, like, what was that, episode 2 or 3 of season 1 of Dino Charge, where they're, like, fighting Sledge, and then he's like, okay, bye, and then Riley's like, Kiefer?
My Rangers are gonna beat your ass. Well, bye.
Bye. Okay, fuck.
Next is the Dino Charge Rangers.
My babies!
All four of them anyways. Travel to the main dimension.
The best ones.
They lose contact with Kiefer after he found Ryjack's ship, which I guess that's the reason why he's in the main dimension. Anyways, they team up with Grid Battle Force to get Kiefer back by trading him for the villain relics, and then they morph to fight Snide. After a morph, Riley and Shelby arrive on the scene. You gotta burn that Sentai footage and also get their asses kicked by Sledge's crew.
Love.
Love to see it. They then leave for some reason, saying, we gotta go. I mean, you can handle our entire villain roster yourselves. Bye, yeah. So let's talk about the individual rangers and see what kind of moments they have for the episode. So Tyler, he got his ass kicked by Sledge while in secret Dino Charge mode, so that's something. Koda's still adorable.
Aww.
A mammoth feast. I love him.
A mammoth feast.
I mean, like, there's nothing that boy could do wrong. So, I mean, just him existing is basically honestly perfection.
My notes just say, my baby, you're perfect, never change. Except maybe change that wig.
Never change.
Yeah, have a fun summer.
Change the wig.
Yeah, they need to get you a better wig.
To be fair, it's a better wig than the just.
That is true. It's like an in-between, like, it still can be better.
I loved his meta line of being like,
Sledge?
Guess who's back?
But we destroy you twice!
Third time's the charm, my scruffy caveman friend.
And what about it?
It's like, but we beat you! Yeah. I love it. It's like, so?
Also, talking about beating, Koda got his ass kicked by Snide. Oh, Chice! Really much about Chice. He's got a new hat, I think. He's got a new hat, or is that the same old hat?
I mean, it's a plain hat, so it's probably just sitting in the fuck. It's probably shit from the wardrobe trailer. I mean, they probably have a lot of shit just hanging out in the wardrobe trailer.
Also, the most what the fuck moment in the episode.
The best part, aka.
Chase fights Curio and gets his ass kicked.
You are goddamn right. My baby did that.
Whooped ass.
I said, that's my baby, and I'm proud.
Like, we did work really hard on that fight scene.
Chase got his ass kicked by Curio.
And what about it?
Curio!
You know what, Ray? That's fighting words, bitch!
I like cake. I am baby. Chase's ass!
You are damn right.
Yeah.
And you love to see it.
You do.
That is something I thought I would never see in this show.
You know what? He's getting a little rusty, okay? Little fucking rusty. He fucked around and then he found out. That's all I'm saying.
So Ivan.
Ivan is literal perfection.
Oh, yeah.
Ivan continues to be the Sir Ivan that we know and love.
If they just wanted to pay Davi to just be Ivan for every season, I would never get tired of it. Just have Davi come back every season as a new character.
Make that shit American Horror Story. Bring these bitches back every season as a new character. I'll get it.
Let, like, Yoshi and Davi just come back and be like the Sarah Paulsons and the Evan Peters of Power Rangers.
Yeah,
he can play different characters. He played two characters in Dino Charge, him and his great grandson.
That's range.
You want to talk about range? There you go.
More diversity than the Oscars
and the rest. So Shelby and just Riley just show up, morph at the end of the episode, so they can just fight.
Couldn't get any other girls, like, just a sausage fest. Like, poor Zoe.
It's kind of sad that that they didn't get to call Claire to come back as Kendall.
Like, honestly, that's so shitty, because not only is Zoe the only female ranger in the season, but also in the team-up, and this episode is just everybody shitting on her.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, I was like, she made a screw-up, but, like, honestly, this screw-up was less than the one that gets made in, like, the very next fucking episode, or that other, like, Ravi or Devin have done. Honestly, Zoe stayed the most out of trouble, and, like, anytime she messes up, it's pretty minor compared to these two, like, disaster areas. When they screw up, it's always big time. It's like, oh, hey, I let someone into the fucking storage locker.
Well, she's a female. Let's shit on her.
And I fucking hate it. I'm just like, she's...
I hate that.
And especially because, like, it's always Commander Shaw coming down on her. I'm just like, I'm not asking for special treatment, but, like, Jesus Christ, she's, like, the only girl on this whole team, and, like, you're riding her harder than everybody else. And I'm just, I feel bad for her. I'm like, she's really competent. It's just like, you guys just shit on her constantly.
Talk about the villains that come back first. So the Dynamite Charge villains. So Rajak conveniently had all of Sledge's crew's weapons in his villain relics. Snide is the first one to be revived because Syntech footage. After Ebok obtains Rajak's relics after they pretend to trade for them, he orders Scrozzle to revive by them, which happens to be Sledge! Yes!
It's a bomb! Oh, wait, I'm alive!
Was fired by the Energems, because that's his thing.
That's his niche.
I mean, the money still needs to be made. Like, that's why he wanted the Energems, because he wanted that coin, sister.
I mean, anything that, like, is a power sorcerer range, because he wanted those power stars last season.
Well, though, girl, those were great value Energems, let's be honest.
So he's like, okay, I'll be your little bitch this episode, but remind my entire crew while you're at it, because we gotta kick some dino ass. But they retreat after the Beast Morphers arrangement. So badass.
Can I just say that Snide is cooler in one episode of Beast Morphers than all of Dino Supercharged? That's on period, love.
It's on period, sister.
Heckle kind of hindered him, I guess.
Heckle stole the spotlight.
He also kicked some major caveman ass by kicking Pota's ass.
We just could just gush about what we love and don't love about Dino Charge versus other seasons all day, because we stand Dino Charge in this household.
Yeah, we are the Dino Charge stand. So Sledge! Sledge is revived by Scrozzle after Evox sees that Snide is getting his ass kicked, so he's like, gets revived, and he's like, it's a bomb!
Wait, I'm alive.
Because the production team loves that meme, and they embrace it.
You go, writers team.
He says he needs his crew, too, because Sledge is nothing without his posse. On to Poise.
Oh, Amber, you look so good here.
I did. Like, I haven't aged a day, honestly.
Poise's back is fabulous as ever. The first thing she says when she's revived is said,
you leave my hubby alone!
Icon legend the moment.
She really is.
She also gives Riley a good ass kicking.
Well, I mean, that's not hard. Have you seen Riley?
He's a bottom. He's like, girl, you are too fabulous. I can't hurt you. And so she beat his ass.
She was like, you were out here trifling. Whoop his ass.
So Fury really doesn't do that much this episode or the next. He just fights Ivan.
He's just there.
Same with Wrench. And last but not least, Kirio.
My fucking baby. I love you so much. Ugh.
He kicked Chase's ass.
Yes, he did, Ray. And what about it? I will fight you. I will end you. I'll fucking kill you, you fucking bitch!
You fucking bitch! You fucking bitch! I'm gonna fucking kill you! I'm gonna fucking bring you all the way through! Fucking die, you fucking pig! You fucking gun!
Also, where is my likeness check, Hasbro?
You should honestly sue Austin.
Well, maybe I will. I'll be speaking with my lawyers when this is over.
On to the main cast. First up is Devin. He gets a cool little posing shot with Tyler, which made a good screen cap. Those two standing next to each other has more diversity than Forever Red had with 10 Rangers.
Whoa!
That's rough, buddy.
The drama.
I kind of laughed when Devin just shoved Keeper in the back of the truck. He's like, hey, you'll be safe in here, Keeper, back of this fucking truck.
And then it was fucking hijacked by Vivix. Oh my god, like the Vivix just vibing, driving a fucking semi-truck was hilarious. Just vibes.
For Keeper, but again, they need to use that Sentai footage, and there was Sentai footage in that Dino team-up movie, the Go Busters, chasing after that specific truck.
So. Yeah, because I'm like, it's so out of place, because normally it's like, they got their black Uber
But, like, I understand the reason why they did it, because they were supposed to grab weapons, but we didn't realize it was all going to fit into, like, one baby little trunk.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. They made it work.
True.
So, Ravi, he got to play with Lord Zedd's staff for a second, so that's kind of cool.
Hot. I want to play with Robbie's staff.
Onto Zoe.
Gets shit on the whole fucking episode and pisses
me off. And she feels bad. Like, you could definitely tell, like, she feels terrible about it. I'm like, fuck.
And she knows she fucked up, and then they're all like, oh, if Zoe here didn't do this, you can watch your fucking mouth.
Even Nate is fucked up worse than Zoe has ever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Nate in a regular episode has fucked up worse than Zoe has on her worst time. And I'm just like, I don't want to hear this. Like, I really don't. Like, you all are out here.
The whole thing about it is that she was specifically told to wait with the other Rangers until they came there.
But here's the thing. She was gonna wait, but someone was coming. So she wanted to get there first.
And also, they're mad at her for not waiting. And then, oh, like, way to go, it blew up because you didn't wait. Well, it still would have blown up anyway.
But knowing Grid Battle Force, they probably would have had scanners all over.
But it wasn't going to be everybody. It was literally just the other Rangers. Like, it wasn't going to be like a science crew or anything like that other than just Nate. It's just bullshit because, like, she didn't deserve all that shit. Like, yeah, she boneheaded up a little bit, yes. And nobody was worried that she, like, got, like, she was caught in the explosion. Like, nobody was worried.
Yeah, that's another thing. I could have died, bitch.
Like, she was out cold. And you guys, they're super powered and they get out cold. I'm like, I'm sorry. She already has such a rough rap this whole season, just being ignored and made into a love interest. And I'm just like, this is like, we can do better than this. It's 2020.
It never happened to Atchison.
That's bullshit. It never would have happened at Atchison.
So adding fuel to the fire, she puts a compliance collar on Keeper, but she doesn't make him do push-up. Yeah, he's not a body bitch.
I understand why they're all like, ooh, you put it on him. One, she didn't know who he was, and this was already a sensitive area, and she reacted. It's not her fault he got kidnapped.
She missed Ranger history class that day.
But I mean, he wasn't looking right at her. It was like behind.
I feel like the robe, though.
I know that robe anywhere. That's Keeper.
Like, sue her for not instantly recognizing that it was Keeper and just reacting and throwing the collar.
She does get to redeem herself at the end of the episode because she saves Keeper.
Everybody shat on her the entire fucking time, though. And that wasn't fair.
Like, at least all the villain stuff made up for all that shit.
Like, all the other good stuff was great, but I'm just saying, if I had one major terrible takeaway, it was literally the treatment of Zoe.
Absolutely.
So, Nate's this episode really didn't do much, except he really wanted to add some of those villain relics to his collection.
Mm-hmm. He needs the toys.
Yeah, he's baby.
You're kind of cute. You're just like a little baby. Is the little baby ticklish? Is he?
I mean, he's baby, but he better watch out because he has some serious competition with Curio Batgirl.
On to Steel. Steel asked Nate what a mammoth is after Kodo said he wanted a mammoth feast. That was pretty cute.
Steel is perfect always. Like, he's literally the only male character on that team that didn't do any wrong.
Except that one episode. Well, we don't talk about that episode.
Yeah, we don't need a repeat of them being like, oh, I'm gonna treat everybody like a fucking submissive and I'm the dumb. All right, on to Amanda Shaw. She praises the Dinocharge villain weapons, calling them quite formidable. See, even Commander Shaw stands Sledge's crew. Yes!
The taste, the vibe is immaculate.
Yeah, she gets it. Okay, so on to Ben and Betty. Crack out the bubbly, everyone! Ben and Betty do not appear in this episode or the other two we're reviewing this episode. Bum, bum,
bum, bum, bum, bum, bum. Ray is super pumped, can you tell?
Cracking out the shade button for that one. But I thought I'd do something funny and say what they would have done if they were in this episode. So Ben and Betty are picking up villain relics. Sledge picks up Sledge's blaster and blasts Betty with it, making her hair get super wacky. Like, ooh, my hair! You know they would have done that.
This fucking drama queen.
Betty picks up Lord Zedd's staffs and whacks Ben in the behind, making him all fall over, roll down a mountain into a mud puddle. Ooh, I'm falling, I'm falling, I'm in a mud I swear to God.
You shady cow.
Too fucking much.
You should write for the show, seriously.
I mean, it's pretty on point with what we get in the show, so yeah. On to the B-spots. They don't do anything this episode, except Cruz turns into a bike.
Do they ever do anything? Never, because they ignore characters.
On to actual characters. Evox. Evox decides to start up his new plan and capture Keeper for some intel. Some intel we will know later. That's for future people. He also steals Keeper's staff for nefarious purposes. Now on to Scrozzy. Scrozzel has a fun moment while he's tracking Ryjack's ship, because at the same time he's tracking it, he says,
"There's a catch. It just exploded."
I love Scroz.
I love Scrozzle. I love you.
Icon.
He also dupes the DC and BM Rangers and teleports away with the villain relics. They can get Keepers like, "Oh, I got the villain relics. Bye. I'm teleporting away."
Yeah, they thought they were gonna try and get those back. It's like, girl.
Never trust a villain. Are you kidding me?
Scrozzle ain't playing.
He ain't playing. He wasn't born yesterday.
Scrozzy is the smartest of them all.
On to the Robo Duo. Robo Blaze says, "Where are your new best friends?" When Snide was reanimized, that was funny. Robo Roxy has a stand moment when he finds Snide's sword. She's like, "Oh, this is Snide's sword. He fought the Dino Charge Rangers." That was cute. At least Snide has one fan.
Yeah, someone had.
Too. As long as you got one fan, you're a star.
Robo Roxy calling Keeper as tame as a bunny rabbit was...
I thought it was as tame as a pussycat.
Oh, pussycat, bunny rabbit, whatever. It was something cute and adorable.
What's new, pussycat?
Well. Oh, God.
All right, on to miscellaneous thoughts. Ryjack's villain relics was a really cool way to get Sledge's crew into the story. I guess Ryjack mopped the hell out of Sledge's ship after he abandoned it for the Warrior Dome in the Super Ninja Steel Christmas special.
Yeah, damn, this motherfucker cleaned house. Like, he had all kinds of shit.
Yeah, he also had some Dino Charge Monster of the Week weapons and some Ninja Steel villain and monster weapons. He has Astronema's Gauntlet, a Psycho Ranger data card, Goldar's sword, and Zed's staff. So where the fuck did he get all this shit? Damn.
I wonder how we got Zed's staff when wasn't it destroyed when they became good?
Well, Thrax had a Z staff, so maybe it's Thrax's.
Oh, God.
Maybe that would have been funny if they reanimized Thrax and they're like, "Who the fuck is this loser?"
"Who the fuck are you?" They're like expecting Zed. They're like so excited that it's just Thrax. He's like, "I'm back." They're like, "What the fuck?
Oh wow, we got great value, Zed." Okay. Also, check out a full list of what's in Ryjack's collection in my Easter egg article coming out after Beast Morphers is over. Plug. I also love the Dino Charge villains were brought back. Bring them back every season. I love them.
I do not give a shit. Bring them back every year and kill them again.
It was also delicious that they kicked some major ass. Even Curio. Curio kicked Chase's ass.
You know, Ray, the more times you say that, the more it just feels my love for that moment.
It feels good. It feels good.
I'm saying it because I loved it too. I'm not saying it in a negative sense. I loved it too. It was so cute.
You're being shady.
I'm not being shady. Shady.
You were always kind of shady, Raymond.
It was nice that we got a whole episode dedicated to Dino Charge stuff, because you know that the actual Team Up Trilogy episode with all three Dino teams were going to be all about Jason. So it was nice to see an episode that focused on the Dino Charge Rangers and their villains before we got that Bat episode, because they're just background fodder in that episode, to be honest.
I disagree. I still feel like they're prominent in the episode.
They're prominent, but not as much as Jason. Okay, so that was the end of Finders Keeper. Pretty good episode. Pretty good. I liked it.
I liked it aside from the Zoe shit.
Yeah. But on to the crown jewel of all three episodes. This is my favorite of the three.
Same.
The villain special, Making Bad.
Because of course it is. Mwah. 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 Ray, do you need to go clean up downstairs?
Maybe later. Okay, so brief synopsis. The combined forces of Evox and Sledge's crew are debating on what villains they should revive to strengthen their forces for Evox's super secret plan. It's still a secret. They sift through villain records, cause clip show, to figure out who the best candidates are. While this is happening, Scrozzle sends down a Robotron to steal some diamonds so that the villains they do bring back are revived with even more power, cause they need to be glitzy and glamorous and filled with jewels. However, the Beast Morpher Rangers figure this out and destroy the Robotron with ease. Gotta burn that footage. After learning about the Diamond Plan, Poissandra and Curio decide to join in on the fun, attempt to steal some diamonds for themselves. Cause they gay.
We have so many moments in this episode, Amber.
I mean, I like sparkly things. Like, I don't care if it's diamonds or rhinestones. Like,
that looks like a diamond.
Like, I stoned these tights.
All right, save it for later, Marys. Unfortunately, they're thwarted by the Beast Morpher Rangers. Fury and Wrench also arrive on the scene, and the Beast Morpher Rangers destroy our fave villains. Again.
Boo! Again? A fucking again.
They'll be back. Back in the crystal dimension, Evox decides to bring back Goldar, who is revived as Goldar Maximus thanks to diamond energy. He destroys Sledge after being called an antique, which is ironic coming from Sledge, seeing as he's over 65 million years old.
So after we fucked around, I'm looking around his apartment, and I'm like, do you work with antiques? He goes, how old are you?
Alrighty, so on to new character elements. So Scrozzle has recorded video files of all the villains in villain history.
Where'd you get this footage, Queen?
Yeah, and why is it so shitty? What's with the weird ADR where they sound nothing like their characters?
As much as I love seeing all this footage used in such a clever way, I honestly didn't need any ADR. They could have done this with just sound effects and music.
Also, I don't get how they can't use the music they own.
You own the fucking show.
They own this music. They own the show. If they can put the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers theme song into a toy, why can't you use
the voice clips of the actors that you own?
Apparently the recorded dialogue they did is so shitty because they treated the masters like shit, so they don't have raw audio footage from these episodes, so they had to just record new ADR.
The technology is there to edit out audio, like background track.
Like, it doesn't need to be perfect.
I mean, that was the excuse that Bischoff made, but I'm like, I don't buy it. Okay, so Korag is the first one to be seen.
Ew.
He's our villain of the month, ladies and gentlemen.
Go check out his profile on MorphinLegacy.com.
Thanks, Amba. So Scrozzle chooses Korag because he's cold, ruthless, and Morphin Legacy's villain of the month. This is also the only clip to feature ADR from the original actor since New Zealand, because the actor that plays Korag, the actor that plays Lambo, and the monster we see for 2 seconds, they're all ADR'd by the original actor. Wonder why this was played first. None of the other actors show up in this episode. They are ADR'd by other people. Also, Roboroxy then reminds everyone that Korog, according to Roboroxy, turned into a good guy and is still technically alive. Limbo's still alive, honey.
She pronounced it as Korog.
Yeah.
Sister.
Not the last time she does something like that, but on to Astronema. Roboroxy chooses Astronema for her potential candidate since she was the princess of evil, cunning, and wicked.
The taste is immaculate. Fucking immaculate.
But Robo Blaze then reminds Roboroxy that Ashanma turned good. Not to mention, she also became a Power Ranger. And again, she's technically still alive.
Wait, that's weird. How are they reviving people that are still alive?
It's just weird because, like, 3 of the 4 candidates they choose are people that are still alive and turned good.
I think they didn't realize what happened, and they just assumed that they died.
Roboroxy is then disgusted by this revelation and the fact that she looked up to her. I can't believe I looked up to you! You're a total fake.
Like, you should still look up to you because, like, she still did way more.
But she did have taste. Like, I do like that Roboroxy stand astronomy because that is taste.
Oh, for sure.
She also calls out the fact that there's a lot of villains that turn good.
Gross! To think I looked up to her! Ugh, what is with these villains becoming little goody two-shoes?
Yes, Metal Lines, I love it. Lord Zedd is the next one chosen. Scrozzle suggests Lord Zedd as a candidate due to him and Rita planning to rule the universe as King and Queen of Evil.
Okay, I already didn't like the new ADR by different people. I fucking hated that they took out Robert Axelrod's voice.
They could have just used footage of him not talking, and it's like...
Like, to me, that's disrespectful.
Just use fight footage of him fighting. He doesn't need to talk. Come on now.
None of them needed to talk.
You used fight footage. They don't need to talk! Roboroxy then counter-argues by saying Zedd would betray Evox in a heartbeat and shows footage of King Mondo, or Mondu, according to Roboroxy, and again, pronunciation, getting blown up by Rita and Zedd. I seriously don't know if it's Liana doing it by thinking that's the way to pronounce it.
Or it might have been the ADR director being like, okay, and you need to say this line like this.
Possibly.
Or hey, take two, say it like Mondo this time instead of Mondu. There you go. Also, fun facts, the actress that voiced Mystic Mother in Mystic Force does Rita's ADR in this episode. And like Mystic Force, it's not good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was like, how unfortunate.
In case you thought that bad impression was kind of, for Rita, yeah, she's done it before in Mystic Force.
Results are exactly the same.
Results may vary. Sledge then chimes in and says he doesn't want Zed on his team. Poissandra then chimes in herself and says,
at least he had a nice wedding with Rita. I bet her husband can spend more time with his asteroids than with his wife.
She's poisoned.
Ooh, fucking burr. She fucking roasted him.
That sent me. I loved that line so fucking much.
Ray creamed his jeans.
I did. Because Poissandra comparing her wedding to Sledge to Rhea and Zed, it made my villain-loving heart flutter.
Mwah.
On to Psycho Red. Robo Blaze, the emo trash that he is, chooses Psycho Red as his candidate. Because, of course, Robo Blaze would choose him since they're both evil Reds.
That's taste.
But, of course, Robo Roxy counter-argues and says he was too obsessed with destroying a Red Ranger, which ultimately caused his demise.
Especially, like, Psycho Red did nothing compared to Psycho Pink. At least Psycho Pink accomplished her job.
She killed a fucking ranger.
I didn't see Psycho Red. I saw him get mollywalloped by Leo. I did not see that happen with Psycho Pink. I do believe she killed.
I'm okay, but you're not.
All right, the last candidate, and the candidate chosen to be revived, Goldar! So Evox comes back from taking his little nap and chooses Goldar, because he's a generic MMPR villain type that only just takes orders, and we have the suit, so why not? But he's not voiced by Kerrigan for some reason. I don't
and
get
it's
that.
It's fucking weird, and I don't like it.
It's like, you brought him back for Battle for the Grid, but you can't bring him back for the show?
It's not like you had to fly him to fucking New Zealand. Like, he could have done it in his garage.
For real, he could have recorded it over the phone.
If this pandemic has taught us anything, you can make a recording booth anywhere.
For real. I mean, we're recording the grid on Zencaster, and we're all in three different locations, so...
Anime voice actors have been making closets into recording booths. They could have done it, I'm just saying.
Goldar immediately pledges his loyalty to Evox, because of course, bottom bitch, and kills Sledge after he shades him. You did Sledge dirty like that, but at least he was brought back, because they didn't really need to bring him back. He's an original villain, and he's not in the footage, so I appreciate that he was brought back anyway, so... Can't wait to see you in Dino Fury. You better say it's a bomb when you get revived in that season, too. Okay, so let's talk about the Robotron of the week, Thieftron. He's got a pretty cool design for a monster that kind of fits the motif of a jewel thief. And he was destroyed in 5 seconds, so whatever. Okay, let's talk about the fun stuff of the episode. The Dino Charge villains. First off, Sledge. He was a goofball this episode and had all the zingas. When Poissandra dies, spoilers, when Sledge is like crying like a fucking aww baby, I felt so sad for him, but also he's like on the floor, he's like, oh shoot, I miss my Poissy. It's like so cute. She was the most wicked of them all.
She's like, fucking murder you in your goddamn sleep.
He also tries to shade Goldar Mexes by saying he has more power in his toenail and calls him an antique. Unfortunately for him, Goldar doesn't take this well, and he kills him.
Bitch, I'ma kill you. That is a death comment.
Who likes being made fun of? You know, I'm just saying.
So Snide. Snide really didn't do that much this episode. He's just in the background. But it was kind of funny when Snide was threatening Scrozzle after he was like,
but Master Evox, the monsters we've reanimized so far aren't anything special. Watch your mouth, Rust Bucket, or you'll have me to deal with.
And me.
Also, Campbell shading Campbell. That's kind of funny, because Snide and Scrozzler are both voiced by Campbell Cooley.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that for him. The range.
Let's talk about Poissy!
My cotton candy nightmare.
After getting awestruck from all the diamonds, because Scrozzle shows all the villains this pile of diamonds he's been collecting to power up villains, and she's like, ooh, I want some of that.
A girl has got to get her glitz.
So after Scrozzle's Robotron kind of bites the dust, Poissandra decides to get some diamonds herself, so she steals Scrozzle's tablet, and he's like, oh, Scrozzy, how about you send one of those robot thingies out to fight the Rangers?
Distraction.
Scrozzy robot thingies.
So her and Kirio can hit up a facility, because she deserves love and jewelry.
Exactly. Boysandra is a spiritual successor to Debbie.
So they do, and she fights Zoe with Curio, but she's destroyed.
That's bullshit. At least a real one got to get me.
She got a better death than she did in her season, or Ninja Steel.
I mean, to be fair, I think she should have been the one that was like, oh yeah, you get a human form, because I love her. She deserved it.
I wish Boysandra got a human form. And sing! You cast a singer!
I know! Why didn't she get a song?
All you got was Do Re Mi in the first episode, and that is it.
We were robbed.
You could have made her end up good and then just have her keep getting turned back evil. Like, and there'd be a way to keep bringing her back.
With all the fucking filler episodes that Supercharge had, like, you'd think they put a singing one in there. Hello. Wait, there was that episode where Shelby and Tyler auditioned for the NZ Boys. They could have done it there.
Missed opportunities. Okay, on to Wrench. He's just vibing.
Him and Furio are literally just vibing.
Yeah, there's one scene where he's examining the RoboClone tube thing, which is kind of funny. And it gets bloated up after fighting Ravi. And Fury, he's examining one of those giant crystals. Oh, and he yells at Boysandra before they start fighting, because like, Boysandra, Ledge told you to stay in the crystal dimension. I'm like, on brand.
Bitch, you do not tell me what to do.
Right? He can't tell me what to do. Fucking cat. He's a bullshit pussycat. Like, he can tell me fucking nothing.
Oh my god, guys. We're on to Curio.
Yes!
Yes, bitch! The best character in this whole last episode carried it on his back.
Bitch, he had help.
We were fed by the Curio content this episode.
It's what I deserve.
It makes up for him not being in the Super Ninja Steel Holiday Special, which was like, why the fuck wasn't he in that?
That was bullshit. But he's here and I'm so happy.
He's a precious, precious boy.
Okay, for all the scenes where they were going villain footage, if you just look at like Curio in the scene, he's like on the ground, like react.
He's sitting down like a good boy because he needs to learn his villain history.
He's so cute.
He also stands a astronomer, which when they show her clips, she's like, I'll admit that girl has style.
She does have style.
And then when Poise and Curio are ready to steal some diamonds after she steals Scrozzle's tablet, he's like, exactly. And he does a cute little clap. Also, the best part of the episode, when they arrive to the diamond facility, he says,
I can't read, but those look like diamonds.
The first time I watched this episode, I was laughing so hard.
I was there. We watched this on Skype together. And I'm like,
I was like crying.
I was like, Austin, you're going to fucking love this episode. And then we had to pause.
My roommate heard me in from her room because I was like laughing really hard. I was like, yup.
And then he does like a cute little wobble.
We were fed, Austin.
He does a cute little wobble when he's walking there. It's like, I can't wait.
No. Like literally just Curio just existing and vibing is just, that is the serotonin. Give it to me.
It cured my depression.
Like, it helped my quarantine.
But all that's good must come to an end. He fights Zoe with Poise and dies.
R.I.P.
R.I.P., baby.
Godspeed.
Moment of silence for Curio. And done.
I was, like, holding in a laugh. I was like, out of respect, I cannot laugh at this moment.
On to the main cast, quote unquote, Devin. He has the nerve.
This motherfucker! I wrote this down too. You bitch! You fucking asshole!
He has the nerve to shade Boysandra, calls her a monster.
How dare you! How fucking dare you!
I'm fucking offended.
Yeah, so rude.
Boysandra is an icon. She's a legend. She is the moment. And deserves respect, damn it.
Like, how dare you? How dare you look at that beauty and be like, ugh, you monster.
That cotton candy nightmare gourmet delight.
So Ravi, he's super sleuthing. He was Sherlock Holmes in the Halloween special.
Sherlock Homie.
Good throwback. On to Zoe. She holds up a diamond. That's it. Nate got to push Steel out of the way and say a very gay voice, for all of us, Steel.
For all of us, Steel.
But on to Steel. He has a few breakout moments this episode. At the beginning, when they're at the Riptide Gym, Steel wants a drink, but he can't because he doesn't have a mouth.
And then he's like, Nate, you need to upgrade me.
Everything Steel does is perfect, really, to be honest.
Even in an episode that he's barely in, he is the star.
He shines so bright.
He shines bright like a diamond. I can't read, but that looks like a diamond. Don't worry, Steel. You'll get your wish later, but that's for future people.
Oh, I can't wait.
I can't wait.
You guys are ready for me to be angry as shit.
Oh, no, you're gonna be living, honey.
And his reaction to the jewelry thievery, saying, why would anyone want a giant shiny rock? Deal not getting a kick your butt metaphor at the end of the episode? Be careful. My butt is made of metal. The team laughs. Ha 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 ha. But what? My butt is made of metal.
It's a good metal butt.
Commander Shaw's not in this episode, I don't think, except for maybe a scene where she's like, there's a Kikatron in Sector Bravo 5-6.
And that's probably just stock footage.
Ben and Betty are not in this episode, but here's a scenario of what they do if they were. Ben and Betty, while trying to guard some diamonds, slip and fall on them. Hilarity ensues. On to the B-spots. We see them for a millisecond when Sledge's crew blasts out of Beastex mode. Hashtag B-spot watch 2020.
Oh, I really wish they had more focus. It's really sad.
Yeah. But what you gonna do? On to the villains. Evox. Evox is gone for the most of the episode since he's like, you bitches pick a villain to revive. I'm gonna take a nap.
And then after his nap, he chooses anyway.
And then he's like, bitch, I don't care who you chose. I'm gonna choose Goldar. On to Scrazzy.
Scrazzle Razzmatazz.
His Scrazzle Razzmatazz.
I think it should be shortened to Scrazzmatazz. I'm just saying. Let's be efficient, because I like that old Scrazzmatazz.
Scrazzle has Velen records, so he's pretty much is the reason why this clip show is happening. So thank you for that.
Thanks, King.
But you have shitty rips. Like, what the fuck? What's wrong with the music? What's wrong with the ADR? Where's the ABC Family logo? Is it that bad?
I mean, honestly, would we have been surprised? Because fucking, like, the Dino Fury trailer had TV Neon clips, so...
Oh my god, you're right.
They've done that before. Like, they had Kamen Rider Wizard in a trailer once.
Wait, what? They did?
Yeah, because they used a clip show and didn't edit it out.
I remember that. They did the Super Mega Force trailer, right?
And everyone's like, oh, Kamen Rider confirmed!
Oh, god.
I remember that. That was Bandai. It was also kind of cute to see him comforting Sledge after Poissandra died. Like, Scrozzle is a good boy.
Oh, yeah, he's a sweet guy.
Where's my Scrozzle figure lightning collection? Get on
it. Oh, my god, where is the Scrozzle figure?
He got disrespected in the regular toy line.
You are a toy company, and you designed this original villain.
He's an original villain.
You don't make a figure of him? Like, I don't... Like, I would love a lightning collection figure, don't get me wrong, but like, I would settle for a $10 one.
Yeah, put him in a 5-pack. I'd buy that 5-pack if I got a Scrozzle figure out of it.
Do Scrozzle, Purple Roxy, Robo Blaze.
Yeah, why don't we have Purple Roxy? That is literally just a repaint of a mold you already have.
3-pack, right there.
Ooh, a villain 3-pack. There mm-hmm. you go.
Sealed, signed, delivered.
Just hire us, Hasbro.
I mean, honestly, just give us free stuff and we'll work for you.
I mean, we kind of already do.
No, but I mean, like, give us free figures and we'll tell you the kind of shit we all need. I'm just saying.
So on to the Robo Duo. Robo Blaze has some funny lines when Scrozzle whips out the old Scrozzle Razzmatazz and says,
will you stop? You're not cool.
On to Robo Roxy. I love that she stand astronomer. That's great. But she unstands after she found out she was good, so.
You know, any self-respecting villain would. It's like, she loves astronomer, but she hates Corona.
Oh, I was about to say, I was like, you know who didn't turn good was Duvatox, but she did.
She did!
Every Zordon era lady villain, except for, like, Machine and Archerina, were turned good.
You know who we forgot?
Trakina.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Scorpina.
All right.
Oh, I said Trakina.
Oh, I would say it's Scorpina.
Both deserve rights.
Yeah, Scorpina's just hanging out in another dimension now, in the coinless dimension. Vibin.
That's not real in this canon.
She's just floating in space somewhere, I guess. Okay, so for some reason, Robo Roxy pronounced the names weird, like we said. I don't know if it's a Liana thing or an ADR thing, but it just takes 2 seconds to be like, honey, it's Mondo, not Mondo. Robo Roxy had a funny line after Poissandra died by saying,
she was a
very evil woman.
You are damn right.
Goddamn right. Thank you for the respect, Queen. Queens respecting queens.
All right, on to some miscellaneous thoughts. Like I said, out of all three episodes, this prone is probably my favorite.
I would agree, just because of all the villain stuff.
They fucking fed us with the villain content.
I was so fed. Like,
they were specifically like, you know, those homos over at the grid.
I am convinced they made this for us.
I'm okay with that scenario.
Yeah, they fucking fed us. Two of my favorite villain factions interacting, throwing shade, and just being hilarious.
Mentioning your favorite villain of all time.
Rubber Roxy standing her.
This episode, like, all the Kirio and Poise content added, like, 5 years to my lifespan. Like,
cured my depression.
It gave me back half of the life I lost during the quarantine.
Inject this episode into my veins.
2020 doesn't suck 100%. This made it a little better.
It sucks about 90% instead of 100%.
Yeah.
The clip show aspect of this episode, very clever and creative, since it's clips from other seasons and not just shit we've seen before in this season. So points for that. But like I said, the re-recording of the ADR was not it. I don't get why music has to be an issue.
The weird ADR was cringe, and then when it got to Robert Axelrod, I was just like, oh. Let's not do that.
Like, even if it doesn't sound very good, you could be like, oh, the transmission was really shoddy when this was sent to us. And that would have been an easy fix. Or kids wouldn't have fucking noticed.
If music is a factor, just show fight footage where they're not talking. Because it's really awkward when, in some places, when you're like, oh, that doesn't sound like Udana. Or, oh, that doesn't sound like Tommy or Rita or Sprocket or Corone, Astronema, Andros.
Oh my god, we're like, oh, the end space stuff was real bad.
Sakurai wasn't that bad.
I'm Astronema. We know.
Okay, so that was the end of Making Bad. We're going to take a quick commercial break before we start Great Connection.
Woo!
Hey everybody, I'm Brennan Mejia, aka Tyler Navarro from Power Rangers Dino Charge, and you're listening to The Grid. Dino Chargers, ready!
So we're back on to last episode of the prehistoric trilogy, Grid Connection. Okay, so brief synopsis. Keeper arrives at Grid Battle Force to inform the Beast Morpher Rangers of a vision he has, because he has those now.
That's so Raven.
Of a great battle featuring many Rangers. Shattered Grid? No, it's just going to be some dinosaurs. And reveals that the Rangers were defeated. He's also like, by the way, Devin, you're going to get hit with a meteor for some reason.
That was random.
Which Devin's like, ugh, that's some just religious nonsense. I'm leaving for a gaming tournament. Of course, the vision comes true. While the Dino Charge dimension is attacked by Evox's crew, including Goldar Maximus and Snide, the teams are defeated and the four Dino Charge Rangers, coincidentally the ones that showed up last episode, Energems are stolen by Snide and Goldar to be used by Evox to create an evil dinosaur. A Giltrin and Devin uses the meteor in conjunction with energies from a Morphex tower. He sends out a beacon. He's like, Rangers throughout the galaxy and universe, hear my call. In space is like, pretty good. Lost Galaxy's like, we're vibing on Miranoi. Time Force, Wes and Jen are making out in a time ship.
Honestly, they deserve it.
Wild Force, they're just vibing on the Animarium.
Everybody's just vibing. They're too busy.
Ninja Storm, they're just vibing in the Wind Ninja Academy. Dino Thunder, they're digging up fossils. SPD, they're 5 years from now.
I've started saying, like, vibe in, like, every sentence, so now Ray mocks me with it.
Yeah.
Like everything else.
Anyways, someone answers the call, and it's Jason.
No, but we don't have time for introductions.
We spent so long introducing him when he first showed up. I'm so glad we didn't have to rehash that bullshit. It's like Tyler's like, I know who the fuck you are. We're dinosaur Red Rangers. Of course I know you.
I'm also in a different dimension, so I don't give a fuck about you because you don't exist in my dimension.
True.
So Jason and Devin travel to the Dino Charge dimension to assist the Dino Charge and Beast Morpher Rangers. They also summon some extra silent existence from the Mighty Morphin and Dino Thunder teams. Together, they destroy both Goldar and Snide, and they fight and destroy Evox's Chimera Zord thanks to the help of the three Dino Megazords and a new formation, Dino Charge Megazord Beast X King Formation.
That's too long.
Yes, that is too long of a word. Okay, so on to new elements and characters. Well, some old characters. Keeper. He arrives at Grid Battle Force with his vision, because he has a vision, y'all.
He's like fucking like Joseph Smith, except it actually came true.
What's with all these Salt Lake City Mormon references now that you live there?
Oh, love that power I have.
You gonna start a sex cult now?
Maybe I should.
Pretty much tries to sell the Morphin Grid to Devin as a religion. He's like, you must believe in the Morphin Grid. Do not doubt the Morphin Grid, Devin.
Like, whoa there, Keeper.
Like, okay. I know people treat Zordon as a god, but calm down now. It does miraculous things. But to be fair...
It does,
to be fair.
And we'll believe it then.
All right, so let's talk about Evox's master plan, because this has been a plan that's been sowing those seeds for like the past 5 episodes. We finally get the reveal that that Evox's master plan is to make a Zord the way the Dinocharge Rangers make a Zord. So they get a Jeep.
That was so smart of them to reference that episode where Shelby made a Zord.
I did like that episode, and it was a smart way to use that footage of that thing, because it's like, I remember watching that movie and I'm like, how the hell are we gonna adopt this? So they made a Zord out of it. So how you make it is you get a Geode and you slice it in half. Thanks, Goldar. Or Snide. Yeah, Snide. No, Goldar did it.
Goldar makes sense.
So you add some DNA. So they added 6 dinosaur DNAs into it. And then they were just like, add 4 engines for flavor. Also, Evox bonds his warrior spirit to it. I don't know how a virus has a warrior spirit, but pop off.
He has a body.
However, his Zord doesn't last long because it's like destroyed in like 2 seconds. Way to go, Evox. Hope your next plan is better. Goldar Maximus. He's kind of portrayed as a generic bad guy, which I guess is on brand from NPR.
I really don't understand why they couldn't get Kerrigan to voice him.
It would have been cooler if it was Kerrigan doing the voice, but now it's like, oh, okay, generic bad guy. Fight, fight, fight.
They got Kerrigan to voice Goldar for Battle for the Grid. Hello. Hello.
Kerrigan is the flavor.
Yeah, he is the flavor of Goldar. Without Kerrigan, he's kind of generic and it shows because he's generic in this episode. But at least he gets destroyed by a pretty cool blaster by the Dino Rangers forming all their weapons together to make this huge blaster. That was cool. Snide has one moment. He asks if Scrozzle knows what he's doing. He's like, you know what you're doing. Okay, on to Jason. Jason comes in to save the day after receiving Devin's distress signal and team us with Devin to stop Evox. Yawn.
This is literally like that meme of like the grandma and the granddaughter where it's like Jason's like, I'm the Red Power Ranger. It's like, okay, grandma, let's get you back to bed.
Tell how much we care, because in Making Bad, villains we saw 2 years ago were like, yes.
He just doesn't have the same flavor he used to.
And with Jason, we haven't seen him in 17 years and he's here and it's like, okay.
And they made him shave.
Yeah, like, why couldn't you make him beard daddy?
Are you trying to make him look like he's a teenager? He doesn't.
He is a full-ass adult middle-aged man. It's okay for him to have facial hair.
He is a man, baby.
He is a father. Let him look like a dad. Give the older people something to thirst after if they want to. Jeez.
All the grannies in the audience. He summons the MMPR and Dino Thunder teams with a cool effect and a camera shot, because it he flips the coin and the camera zooms up and then you see the transportals go through and you see them jumping out of the... Yeah, that's cool.
It is. It's pretty neat. I will give it that.
Yeah, he really sounds like he needed a drink for most of his ADR. He was like, it's Jimmy. I thought Jimmy would do it. Those 6 kids. I'm like, you need a drink, honey? You need some water? He got a transportal device. That's cool.
Good for him.
Notice how all my notes about MMPR should be saying how generic it is. Strange.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
Maybe because MMPR is very generic and just overhyped because it was the first. Woo! I said
spicy.
It.
Spicy.
On to the Dino Charge Rangers. Tyler! Not giving a fuck about Jason like we said before.
Aren't you?
I'm Jason.
We don't have time for introductions.
That's a positive of Dino Charge being in a different dimension. When we get Rangers teaming up with these Rangers, they're not going to be like overhyped and like, oh my god, it's Jason. He's like, Tyler's literally like, we don't got time for this.
I love it.
Kona and Chase, they're in the background for most of the episode. They're just vibing.
Every time you say vibing, I want to punch you in the face.
Then maybe you should stop saying it.
It's weird when you say it, Ray, you're too old.
Bitch, you are older than me!
Yeah, but see, like, if we're going to compare us mentally, you're like a 70-year-old person. I'm like 5.
True!
Like, true. Come on, Raymond.
My depiction of me is the Holes meme. Austin is, I'm tired of this grandpa. That's too damn bad. Now keep digging.
I'm tired of this grandpa.
That's too damn bad! You keep digging!
Well, excuse me.
That's literally it. That's too damn bad.
All right, so on to Ivan. Ivan, respecting women and calling Robert Roxy m'lady before blowing her ass up.
A king.
All right, on to other Dino Rangers. Mighty Morphin. When they arrive on the scene, you can kind of see them waiting for the Dino Rangers to move before they go, because it's like, oh, they like, there's a scene where they're like running. It's like, okay, now go.
That shot is so funny. Like, someone edited that like shot and put text on it.
It's like, now go. Dino Thunder. Connor mentions Reefside.
That's fun.
Gotta get back to Reefside. Doesn't sound like Connor, but you know.
Poor Dino Thunder didn't get any representation. It's just their suits. You seriously couldn't get Kevin Duhaney? He wanted to do it.
Wanted to. Didn't even ask.
He was like chomping at the bit to get to do it. I was like, come on.
Give Dino Thunder some representation. Fuck it. I mean, it's a Disney season, but some of the Disney seasons were good.
One of the best Disney seasons. It's probably one of my top three favorite seasons.
If you listen to our ranking videos, it is my number two favorite season. Check that out.
I wasn't on that episode, so now you know. One of my top three of the few seasons I've actually watched.
All right, so the big battle. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I've seen this footage multiple times, so I know what was cut.
I love the Sentai footage.
But for some reason, like, after they do their pose and they start to fight, like, there's, like, this one little scene. We watched it yesterday. It's like
the filters aren't on it.
It's like, it's the only scene, though. It's like it's some weird filter. It's, like, gray and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It's like they forgot to put the coloring on that, like, one shot. It was so weird.
One cool scene that they cut was when all the Tricera Rangers fight foot soldiers together and they pose.
I'm just gonna say, though, they need to hurry up and fucking release Lightning Collection Dino Thunder Yellow so I can have the Terra babies.
Because there's two of them.
I already have two. I just need Kira.
Is there a pterodactyl in Dino Fury? I can't remember.
I don't know, because I'd have to have watched it.
Oh, no, I don't think there is. The Six Rangers like some sea creature. Okay, on to character moments. Devin at first doesn't believe Keeper when he gets visions from the Morphing Grid, because he finds
Jesus.
Yes, because he really wants to go to a gaming tournament, and then he finds Jesus when he gets blasted by a meteor.
Oh my god, I almost died.
And I just point out that, like, he literally discredits Keeper, even though they're all like, oh, Keeper is so knowledgeable, fucking leaves for a gaming competition. But Zoe is the big dumb parent.
But it kind of makes sense that he kind of treats the Morphing Grid in the sense, because the Morphing Grid portrayed in his season is a scientific-based energy source. So if he was, like, a mystic force, it would be a magical-based energy source. So it kind of makes sense how he feels about the Morphing Grid in that sense. It can be both.
I think it is both. I just think they found a scientific way to harness it.
It got very, like, Star Wars, the Force.
It's like how each season, like, any season could be anything. It's like, we got magical-based seasons, we got space-based seasons.
I think it adapts to whatever the villains are. So, like, if it thinks magic is by the villains, I think the Morphing Grid expresses it through magic.
True. That's a very good way of seeing it, Amber.
Because it's like, oh, hey, these are space, like, technology villains. Well, magic won't work on them, or may not work on them. Let's go science.
Onto Ravi. He does nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
He calls his mommy when they're in danger.
We're getting fucked up.
Zoe. She says something pretty cool. She says, there's some pretty amazing stories about the grid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, there are. We have some pretty amazing episodes.
There's like 22 seasons of it?
No, I'm talking about us, Amber.
Oh, oops. I mean, either way.
That's why I said it like that.
You know, I'm an old lady. I was going for the obvious route. You were like, sneak it in. Little.
I need a pluggity plug plug. I learned from the best.
You know, I'm trash, okay? Like, let's get done with that. Like,
Jay taught me how to plug, plug, plug. Okay, so on to Nate. Nate didn't do much this episode, but I would like to point out some fashion moments from him. He had a cute sweater, but he's still wearing those ugly fucking Velcro shoes.
Yeah. Like, we were watching it and you were like, oh, that's a cute sweater. We haven't seen that. And then, like, cut to his shoes and you're like, he's still wearing those fucking shoes.
Do you not have another pair of shoes?
Like, oh my god, queen, like, just wear slip-on shoes. Why the fuck are you out here with the straps?
You're a Silva. Put on some chanclas or something, man.
Speaking of Silvas, on to Steele. Steele ended the episode by saying, what a day.
Icon.
I mean, honestly, he's right.
Commander Shaw. She says, battle ready. Now. That was cool.
Okay.
Ray's like, she really could do nothing, and I'd still be like, that's amazing.
Yeah, she, icon legend the moment.
I love her lack of energy. Go, girl, give us nothing.
Hey, you leave Commander Shaw alone. She's not betting Betty.
You know, she's a single fucking mother, okay? Leave her alone.
To quote Reba, a single mom that works too hard, who loves her kid and never stops.
Oh my god. we only acknowledge fancy on this podcast.
Okay, on to Ben and Betty. They are not in this episode, but here's what would have happened if they did. They get hit with another meteor, and hilarity ensues. On to the B-spots. Cruz got to hold the box with the meteor in it. That's something.
Good for him.
Good for him. Evok somehow bonded with the Chimera Zord, even though you need a warrior spirit. Again, not sure how a computer virus has one of those, but work.
Doesn't he have some of Mayor Daniels' DNA left in his body?
Oh, right. There you go, Amber.
You're welcome. That's you're welcome why you're again.
Here. That's why you're here. That's why you pay you the nut the bucks.
You pay me the nothing to do my job. You keep me here because I'm token female, and then also, like, I have deep thoughts sometimes right after I'm big stupid.
You're like Zoe. You're the only girl on the team.
I mean, woo! It's about par for the course for any Power Ranger season right now.
Okay, so on to Scrozzy. He spends most of the episodes getting the components for the Evox Zord, but he does have a funny moment where Evox says he's a genius, and Scrozzle says, well, I did some of the work.
This is history in the making, Master! No one has ever used energems to create a Zord!
And I'm the genius who did!
I mean, I did some of the work.
On to the Robo Duo. Robo Blaze gets his ass beat real fast by the Ultra Bow because the show really loves fucking that showing that weapon. And Robo Roxy. She got the honor of being destroyed by Sir Ivan of Xandar.
Honestly, I would love that honor. If he wanted to slice me up, I'd be like, thank you, King. Kill me.
Thanks, Daddy. I mean, like, if he wants to do more than just slay me, like, I mean, slay in what way? Where do you want to take this? Do you need to change the location? Because I am down for it.
Yes, sir. Just say the word.
I'm DTS down to slay. Hold on. Let me take a sip of this drink. I'm sounding, I'm a little thirsty.
All right. While you're doing that, I will be going on to miscellaneous thoughts. The seeds, they were sown and they were sown real well and it paid off. Because 5 episodes worth of that seed sowing.
And, like, honestly, I thought, like, I was very nervous. They were just going to smush this whole shit into one, like, 20-minute episode. And I was, like, so nervous.
Because judging by the episode descriptions we got, like, Finders Keepers, the literal synopsis is, like, Zoe helps an old friend after she gets him in danger. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It's like, okay.
But then it ended up being Keeper and Dino Charge and Sledge's crew.
Ugh. So good.
And then Making Bad, we thought it was just going to be a clip show about monsters because it's like Evox's crew looks through villains and finds the strongest one in history. I'm like, what the fuck's that? I do kind of wish that we did have more than 4 Dino Charge Rangers and Jason. Yeah, but I mean, this budget is small, and even the Dino movie from Kia Ruger only brought back.
Didn't get everybody back.
It just got the 2 Reds back. So, I mean, they did what they could.
It would have been nice. Like, I think the Dino Charge Rangers were easier to get, but it would have been nice to have at least, like, one person on each team, because they did that, like, they did that in the Dino movie. Like, we got fucking Abba Red, and I love that guy, so I was fucking pumped.
Everybody wanted James Napier to come. It's just hard because James Napier, like, has had a history with talking shit about the franchise, so I knew he wasn't coming back.
I'm like, that's fine. That's why we could have maybe had Kevin Duhaney. Like,
yeah, I would have liked Kevin Duhaney. He's very active in the fandom. He goes to cons a lot.
I would have even been okay, like, yeah, maybe not fly him out, but, like, maybe, like, since they filmed so much new stuff with the suits, maybe just had Blue step in a little bit.
Yeah, it's like you could have just gotten the actors to do ADR from wherever. Pamela.
ADR is so fucking easy. Like, I really don't understand.
And it doesn't cost anything other than the setups.
It's just, they sound nothing like themselves, and it's just, ugh.
It's just like, I'm happy with it for the most part, but, like, that little bit would have really set it off.
I think that's my biggest takeaway, like, issue with these episodes, is just, like, the weird ADR for other characters.
Yeah, honestly, that's just probably the biggest complaint.
I feel like they could have just, like, left it alone.
Yeah, just have them silent. We don't need to be, like, talking. You don't need to talk.
Like, it was a funny scene, Trangmondo scene. Like, that was funny, yes.
And lastly, this episode was a lot of fight. Nothing too deep, but, I mean, we got all that seed sowing. We got the, like, back from, like, episode 9 with the Ranger Vault, we got that there, and then the next episode was the whole Chap and Chaku introducing the Reanimizer and the Putties and the Vivix.
I mean, honestly, even the middle episode just being a clip show, beautiful, amazing, perfect, like...
It was a smart way to introduce Goldar Maximus.
It was, because, like, we had already used the suits way out of order.
And then after the Captain Chaku stuff, you get the whole Dino Charge Keeper and villain stuff, Sledge's crew, and then you're like, oh, put a pin in that, because we're gonna visit that place later, so we know these people already. And then the next episode, you pick out Goldar Maximus, you get rid of the Sledge's crew that aren't in the footage, and there you go. You use that footage too.
It was really well done. Like, this is probably some of the best clip showing we've seen since Dino Charge.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Best clip showing in the book. Honestly, best team up since Dino Thunder, probably.
I will give it. It's probably the best, like, build up, like, seed sowing plot wise ever.
I mean, it did more than Dimensions did, that's for sure.
It worked at this. Like it was like, oh, hey, here's this reanimator. Don't forget that. Oh, hey, here's this guy. Don't forget that.
Like, little bits and pieces each episode that, like, build up.
And show off the Dino Charge Rangers so we know who they are when they get their asses kicked in the next episode.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I love that because it was like, because kids can remember shit. Like, come on, man. Like,
it's not just Ninja Steel where they're like, oh, three mysterious caped figures show up in the previous episode and then they come back in the next episode and they're just Rangers and they're like, oh, Lord Draven. Who the fuck is Lord Draven?
Literally, who the fuck is that?
If he's a fucking bitch that doesn't deserve screen time.
Alrighty, so that is the end of our Dinotastic Prehistoric Trilogy review. So, honestly, we all have high regards for it because we fucking, like,
goop the house boots.
Yeah, my roommate heard me screaming in the other room. Like, I was laughing. I'm like, ah!
So what did y'all out there think of the episode? Tweet us at TheGridPR to share your hot takes. We will see you next week for a brand spanking new episode of The Grid. Until then, everybody say bye.
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 Bye-bye.
This has been a Morphin Legacy production, bitches.